No, I'm just saying that it's interesting that you have this concept of why you're looking for more formalistic theater. I don't have this concept, and I maybe, you know, I'm thinking that the way I'm working now is just a passage of time. It's absolutely possible that I go after this elsewhere, and that I end up again in formalism, like I started off. But at the moment, this is where I feel at ease. And again, I'm not so much in the thought about what I should do. In the way I work or what I work is always, and more, I follow my instinct, my emotional instinct, how I want to work, what I want to do, and so on.
And instinct, probably, though. Instinct is a playing out of whatever the word is, whether it's education or you like load up ideas, thought, to think, and then life then is... Instinct really is learned. Mm-hmm. You know, instinct isn't the purest thing.
True. Sure, sure.
So instinct is all your learning and your
thinking
and reflection, then playing out unconsciously. So I guess there aren't big... Because again, when I read people, like I use Castellucci just as an example, because it's such a argument for formalism in theatre. And he says in footnotes, and I know, I really believe he must be referring to you in places, where he said, really, character doing, I think he even said doing Richard III or something like that, it would make no sense. And then he says, and I think referred to you, of course there are exceptions.
Mm.
I believe he must be thinking about you. But part, it's really like a footnote, he says, it's over. That kind of... So anyway, not to pick up on whether he's right or wrong, but more... You don't identify with this having a manifesto in this way. I guess you feel that it's... When you hear like somebody like him having such a manifesto...
I cannot have a manifesto because I'm not only a director, I'm running a theatre. Mm.
Exactly, that's very different.
And
that's how different would have your work been if you weren't directing of the Schauspieler? Are you independent?
Probably I would not direct anymore.
Why do you think that?
Because the position of an artistic director gave me constant freedom in the choice of what I want to do. And I had difficult periods. I had moments of crisis. And if I... was a freelance director in Germany, especially in Germany, I would have been asked to repeat my style. People would have seen Shopping and Fucking, and they would have asked me to repeat this over and over again.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, that would have ended, then I might have reinvented another style for me, which would have worked or not.
That's so interesting, because I would have imagined the complete opposite. If I imagine my trajectory at the moment, the very fact of being an independent company, with all the problems that entails, there's other reasons why I think I might not have a long career, because of how hard it might be to sustain an independent structure. But the work, I feel, would be absolutely uncompromised. There's no pressure to do one thing or another outside of my own own feelings seduced to repeat something so that people who've liked it before. Whereas I would have had the thought that working in an institution was maybe like within the Irish theatres that I know, there would be a pressure to make a certain type of work that the audience of that theatre likes a lot, and then that I'd be trapped into a style.
So no, there's a very nice and beautiful and true quote by Luc Bondy, who said, "The most independent director is the permanent employed artistic director of a theater." And I do believe that your situation is similar to mine. Because you're having your company and you do with your company what you feel like. There's nobody telling you what to do. This is exactly my situation. I'm of course also responsible for the people around me. But one thing I can really be happy about, and this is why I praise the Lord or the outer space or whatever is there, that audiences follow what I do. It's incredible.
But I guess this, and again, we won't close up soon, but this discussion about, sorry, this statement I've heard you say, and I'd like to say it myself, so we'll talk about it. I make work for myself.
Yeah.
Because we have this question, what is the role, who are the audience, and what are they for?
Yeah.
And I always think in theatre it's very strange and unique, because if I was painting a picture, I think it's logical for me to say, fuck the audience. It doesn't matter who sees this or who doesn't, because the event of me painting the picture and then the object, which is the painting, do have a logic and an existence, even if it's never seen by anybody. Theatre...
Not true.
You don't think so?
Not true.
It's always in a social event.
Art does not exist without a spectator.
Yeah.
Whatever art you do.
So there's nothing in the proverb, you know, the greatest poem is the one we've never read or something, you know, this sort of...
No, maybe there is something to it, but as soon as we read it and we know it's the greatest poem in the
world...
That's
called art. That's
then it's art.
It's a discussion.
As long as we haven't read it, it's not art, because it's not there.
Yeah. But...
But I can...
There is something in this, the difference, though, between it, that...
I just been to Paris... And I did my annual little gallery tour in Beaubourg, like the small galleries. And I went to see an exhibition of Daniel Richter. You know Daniel Richter?
I don't think so.
Not to confuse with Gerhard Richter.
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
Not to confuse with Gerhard Richter. Daniel Richter, I don't think they have anything to do with each other. Daniel Richter was end of the 90s, beginning of the 00s, like the big, new, young, angry painter with all this mythology around, like punk attitude and glamorous lifestyle and great painting with great success and really selling very well. Only thought I had when I went to see his new show of he's desperately trying to please his audience and repeating himself. So he's, and every painting you could see, he's thinking of his audience. He thinks about how to stay in the market. How to pretend to be inspired without being inspired. So all the mechanisms we care about as theater makers with audience, because we have the direct communication with the applause, with the laughter and all that. It's also true for all the other fine artists.
Mm.
The same.
Mm.
Or other art forms. Writers. When you look at writers, there's these famous letters between Unseld and Thomas Bernhard.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read them?
No.
He cares so much about how he's published, the way the books look, what do they believe, what do you believe, when should we bring it, when is a good time, when is a perfect time, do we go to the Frankfurt Book Fair. It's all about this. Even so, he seems to be in his writing completely autonomous, free. No, he's not.
But there is a logic, there is a way I could write a novel, and again, it's more just this is logically consistent, even if emotionally it's a lie and really in my private letters I go, fuck, I hope they like it and whatever. I could logically say this is for people in 100 years.
You know what I really loved? Theater
would not make any sense to say this is for 100 years.
What I really loved, all what you say, I actually adore, but one thing yesterday was really beautiful when you said the shower, you can turn it and it's hot. And it's terrible, it burns, and a little bit before, it's beautiful.
Sure.
And this is a beautiful metaphor to be used also about how the audience wants to be treated, because it's just before it's hot. They don't want us to think about them. They don't want to feel that we want to please them. But they also don't want to feel that we neglect them and that we don't care about them. So we have to find the right temperature to think of an audience. And for example, if you're Proust and you write A la recherche du temps perdu, you pretend to not care at all about audience and people who are reading like 24 hours in all detail. And it's like crazy. And then audiences or readers like it because this guy is so cool, he doesn't care about us. This is true art, you know? And it's always in this balance.
But isn't it still bourgeois aesthetic judgment? Whereas there is something who really doesn't care, punk. You know, the anarchist. An anarchist, this is still... variations within the system.
Punk really doesn't care.
Really doesn't care. It's not a game.
2 minutes.
For 2 minutes. It doesn't last.
No, it doesn't last.
Oh, yeah.
Vivian Westwood is now...
Yeah.
You know where she is.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't last. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It would be, in a way, it would be ridiculous... like, who wants to see a granddad pretending to be punk? Still, 30 years later. We don't want to see that. Do you?
I suppose let's finish with a cliche then, because we talk about fascists now. about the cliche of the director as the fascist. Huh? Mm. You know, the cliche of the controlling director, which, from our conversations, from working with you, it's an experience of release of that role, actually. You know, maybe, like you say, something you started at, a very control, this kind of structural cliche. Mm. Well, it's true, well, the director. So what's the future of directing? Should it disappear again in the long term, this utopian space, or a way of the best...
Well, one thing you want... trying to understand myself is diversity in all senses. So there is not any how directing should be developed, but I'm sure that there should be thousand ways of directing. Mm. That's what I would always defend. The diversity in aesthetics and content. And everybody should go and take the way he or she has to. And it's all beautiful. And if it's boring and I hate it, I walk out and I don't follow it. If it's nice, I don't care if it's formalistic, post-dramatic, performative, dramatic, storytelling or not, I don't care at all. As you can see in my program, I like to gather all different forms of theater. I love all of them as long as they are a true voice or a true new voice, actually, you know.
Mm.
A lot of people, when I was promoting new writing a lot and when I did a lot of new writers, they were asking me, how should I write in order that you produce one of my plays? And I always replied, well, try to write completely different to all the others before, then I might consider it.
It's a good start. Yeah.
And that might also be true for directing.
Yeah. But this is not what you've called Reggie Theatre, because the Reggie Theatre becomes too obsessed with its own stamp, its own voice, perhaps. Is that what you've meant when I've heard you say Reggie Theatre in a tone of voice that suggests that it's slightly critical or something?
Well, what I'm criticizing when I'm critical about Regie Theater is all these bad directors in Germany who try to pretend that they are doing Regie Theater, but they are just copying a style of other masters of Regie Theater. So this theater should be called a copy,
yeah,
paste theater, and not Regie Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
the true. I was speaking with Nina Wetzel about Schlieggensief when we had our meeting, and we were talking, and she was saying there's so many people who are trying to imitate him now, and who announce themselves, "I'm the new Schlieggensief." But she knows some of the people, and they've never asked her about his work and the process of her working with him. So it's not a serious, it's not a serious relationship to, let's say, the work of Schlieggensief in this case, but more a narcissistic desire to be known.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. It's again, they want to become the role Schlieggensief had as soon as he announced that he's going to die.
Yeah.
That was the moment where he became everybody's darling.
Yeah, yeah.
Up to the moment where he not published that he has cancer, he wasn't everybody's darling. He was not. They treated him a little bit like they treat me now. You know, if I was to announce I'm going to die, things would...
No, dying is a good career move.
Yeah.
It's well known to be historically a good career move. And I find, though, for me, conversely, that dying for me really helps me not care about my career, which I find helpful. Because I mean, there's obviously major problems with nihilism and despair, but I have it very massively in my thoughts all the time. But the opportunity given for dying and despair is that I'm only interested in ideas, rather, because my career, I can't see how it matters if I'm, let's say, successful or unsuccessful. It would be wonderful if it's successful, and that'd be kind of interesting, and if I'm sitting in a moment in many years' time and it's all gone well, wow, that's what a funny turn of events, that's great. But it's not important. What's important is ideas and what's going on and understanding the world. And so in the case of, let's say, we reflect on Schlieggensief, the inspiration is not, fuck, I want a career where everyone thinks I'm dynamic and can do and have a... But it's more like, what is going on? Why? What is the meaning?
Yeah, but...
It's chasing meaning, which comes out of philosophy, I think, from studying philosophy and where the ideas are the point.
Yeah, and but when people try to pretend they are the new Schlieggensief, it's about fame. It's about fame, and it's about playing the very sexual, attractive role of somebody who is an opponent to the system. He is resisting power with his art. And that's probably the most sexual, attractive role a man, probably also a woman, could have in our fame-driven society, which is, but then we should get into this now, but I think fame and celebrity is the biggest curse of our time. I do believe what you were just saying about ideas and what you're interested in is exactly why you have and will have success. Because when people go saying, how can I have a career? They overturn the temperature. And the audience will go, too hot. You know, but when they see this guy is really interested in something and he does not want to seduce us, to pretend that he's doing interesting stuff, he's really digging deep and getting dirty by digging deep, then if you're lucky, people might get interested. I think that is very difficult task is to stay courageous enough to do what feels the best for you and what feels the most right for you in that very moment. Even so, you go into territories where you've never been before and which might be a swamp or a desert, not interesting. That's why I like when you say, it's, for me it's about ideas. You want to examine ideas and find out what is right about
it. It's a bigger question, again for another time, about the difference between philosophy and art. And what's the difference? What are they doing that one, do they have different functions and different goals? Or is it a major one conversation?
I think why you are interesting is because you're coming from philosophy. You would also be very interesting as a theater maker if you would come from architecture, or if you would come from music, or if you would come from farming.
Okay.
So, because bourgeois art is in complete crisis, and we're not aware of it, but we feel it. We feel subcutane, we feel, what the fuck? We're pretending to do art and to raise the big questions of our times. But at the same time, we're just trying to have a career in an art market.
But they have the famous image of the orchestra playing on the Titanic as it sinks.
Mm.
You know, so you
Something like that. Well, I would go saying, this orchestra is still hardworking, you know. I would even say it's more about being the producer of the orchestra of the Titanic and counting the...
as you're going down.
Yeah. As it goes down.
Yeah.
I truly do believe that there's a major contradiction.
Yes, because actually that's a good supplement to that image. Because actually there's nothing crazy about playing the violin as you sink.
No.
That's beautiful, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to
making
be
money
making money
them.
And doing the accounts as
yeah.
you sink is not intelligent.
No.
And that's a good supplement on the problem.
Because we are really driven apart or torn apart by this contradiction of or I'm torn apart of this by this contradiction of I'm doing theater, I'm not even doing art, I'm doing theater, I'm paid by the system, I'm part of the system, and I'm pretending to be completely independent, and I have to make a living, and I have to earn some money, so I need to stay in the system, because otherwise, what would I do? And so I care about success and career and next step in the career, and at the same time, I try to neglect completely this. So this.
And isn't that, I suppose, isn't what where Brecht came out of that, because it's about, isn't it, simplification of course, hiding the mechanisms of production is what the theatre shows. The curtain opens, you see the stage, it's snowing, whatever. What you repress there is the conditions that made this possible. So the Brecht thing is you even remove that and then you see the person with the snow, whatever, and you go back. Because we need, it's similar on the level of personality. You want to seem like I'm autonomous. Hello, I'm just like this. I'm just a confident person because my soul is confident. And when you need to repress the conditions which led to why is this person confident and this person is has shame, you know.
Well, because we were talking of Brecht, in the same, there's this beautiful text of Brecht about theater, Der Messingkauf, it's called in German, the copper shop or the copper buying of copper, I don't know. And there he goes saying that it's funnily enough, it's a conversation, he wrote it as a drama between a philosopher, a theater director and a spectator. And they, the three of them argue. And you as a philosopher, you want to bring ideas to the theater to change the world. And you, actor, you want to make a living, but you also want to have a career. And the theater director, or Brecht himself in a way, he's very clear and he says, you have to be aware of the system you're in. You are employed by a bourgeois art industry to entertain the people. That's all. And as soon as you are aware of this, you can enjoy and relax because you know it's not more than that. And I think this is very important for us to understand